From Belly Up Sports and the Belly Up Podcast Network, you're listening to the Sports Stove Podcast with your host, Vince Stover.
Welcome into today's Sports Stove Podcast. Today we are talking all things NFL with the playoffs ahead this weekend. We'll talk some other NFL topics as well. And joining me on the podcast for his second time, and you'll be seeing him more often here throughout the year, he is a minority owner of the Green Bay Packers. It is my dad, Dale Stover. Dad, thanks for joining me tonight.
Thanks for the opportunity. Appreciate it.
Well, you've given me some opportunities in life, so I figure I should repay the favor, right? Literally the least I could do. It's an exciting day for the podcast, Dad. We have added two new sponsors to the podcast, and in the podcast notes, we'll post a link that people can go to. And for these two sponsors, the first one is Blue Coolers. Some people have called Blue Coolers the Yeti Killer. They are more affordable coolers than what you can get at some other places. Blue Coolers provide high-quality, roto-molded, 10-day ice coolers, drinkware, and other outdoor products. They aim to provide quality, high-performance products at a fraction the price of the leading brands. Products are rugged, durable, heavily insulated, and come with a 5-year warranty. And if you will use the link that we post in the podcast notes, or you can go on our Twitter page at Sports Stove and find the link there as well and shop through that link for Blue Coolers. They will know that we sent you. So Blue Coolers is one of our sponsors. We're excited to have them on. And then the other one is Skull Candy. Dad, I'm going to ask you because I don't know if I talked about this or not. Do you know what Skull Candy is?
No.
No, okay. I didn't think so. Skull Headphones, true wireless earbuds, speakers, and more. You can discover life at full volume with headphones, earbuds, speakers, and more. Skull Candy is your one-stop shop for new music, culture, and audio build to stay loud. And again, we'll put a link in the podcast notes and on our Twitter page where you can shop at Skull Candy to get some new headphones or earbuds or whatever you'd like. And that way they know the Sports Stove sent you. We're excited to have Skull Candy and Blue Coolers partnering with the Sports Stove Podcast here in the days ahead. Excited to add them with us. All right, Dad, let's get to it. NFL playoffs, we went through a super wild card weekend last week, but really the games overall weren't that exciting. There were a couple of good games along the way. Now the competition gets a lot tighter and down to four teams on each side of the bracket. Let's start off with the first game on Saturday, the team that you're a minority owner of. The Green Bay Packers, they're at home, their first playoff game of the year. They're playing against the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams are a 6.5-point dog in this game, and they've got Jared Goff at quarterback with a broken thumb, surgically repaired thumb. More than likely, he'll be getting the start. Let's start off with this game. What are the things you're watching for in Green Bay versus L.A.?
Well, I think the big difference is I've kept up with the Packers leading up to this game will be just how much they can feed off the atmosphere. They seem very, very positive. The fact that they have a home playoff game, they've wanted a home playoff game. This will be the first game they've had a significant number of fans at. Up until now, it's been just families and employees, but they've opened this up, going to have 6,000 season ticket holders there. So I think they'll really feed off the energy of it. Obviously, how well the Rams can adjust to the weather. It may not be extremely cold, but the field is different there in Lambeau Field. And as I watched the defense last week, they were very formidable. But I kept thinking, well, I think the atmosphere and the elements could have an effect on that. So I think the key will be the Packers have had great execution. They've really been clicking, and they're going to have to be able to do that. And you never want to get in a hole, but when you're playing a great defense, I think the key will be a good start.
So it's looking like the lower 30s on Saturday, winds up to 20 miles an hour. By late afternoon, you could be looking at the upper 20s as well. So not super cold. It could be a lot worse in Green Bay that time of year. Of course, the Packers, they've had a phenomenal season, especially offensively. Aaron Rodgers is more than likely the MVP of the league this year with his performance. 49 touchdowns, 44 touchdowns, I forget, and only 5 interceptions, I believe, or 4 interceptions. I don't have that in front of me. But nonetheless, a great season for them. But, we've talked about it, me and you have talked about it personally, about the concern of having time off. And having that bye, the bye is good for when you're recovering from injuries, but it could also get you a little bit rusty there. Luckily, the Rams, as Packer fans, their offense isn't known for putting up a ton of points, but you mentioned it. The defense is quite intense. Donald up front leading the way. They've got some really good cornerbacks as well. Jalen Ramsey, it looks like, will be mirroring Devontae Adams the entire game from what it sounds like at the very least. Right there. So I think the key to this game is the Rams defense. The Rams defense can just, and it's like this with any quarterback. You've seen it against Tom Brady. When the defense gets pressure on the quarterback, it makes it a lot harder for the team, obviously. And for a team that's used to putting up a lot of points like Green Bay, if Donald and if Ramsey playing cornerback and if the defense can dominate and hold, how many points do you think the Packers will need to score to win this game?
I would think, at least 28, maybe more than that. Again, I think our defense can play well and can hold them. So, we may could get by with less than that. Again, it'll just depend on the big play that the Rams can make. We've done a good job at really centering in on good running backs lately. And I think we'll do that with this running back also, who is very good. And I would guess we'll make them beat us with the pass.
Yeah, Cam Akers came on really strong at the end of the season. He was a part of one of my fantasy football championship teams. He came on real strong. But you're right, the Packers have really sold out on the run defense, and they've trusted their defensive backs, and they've got some solid ones. Jaire Alexander is one of the best in the league. Kevin King's not been bad. The safeties have been pretty solid as well, with Darnell Savage and Amos back there as well. And like we said, the Rams aren't known for putting up a lot of points. And if Jared Goff is the one that has to beat us, I feel pretty good as a Packer fan that the Packers can overcome Jared Goff. The question is, can they overcome the defense and the way they've played on offense? With the exception of one game, really, that Tampa game early in the season, Packers offense hasn't struggled. And they've got a good mixture of run and pass options as well. So I like the Packers in this game. Now, a scary thing came across the news waves today. They go out and they sign Valdir, the tackle, and now he's in COVID protocol. He tested positive for COVID. Luckily, they're saying no Packers were involved in contact tracing, where they're going to have to sit out because of contact tracing. But obviously, he was at practice one day, and so there's always that potential for all of a sudden we wake up in the morning and key Packers players have COVID. That won't be good. We don't want to see Tim Boyle at quarterback come Saturday. So I've got the Packers winning this game. Dad, I assume you agree with me on that?
Yes. Yep, I think so.
Yeah, I think, again, you're looking at an MVP season for Rodgers. To me, he was clear and above the best quarterback this season, and there were some good ones. Mahomes was good. Allen was good at Buffalo. But to me, the way Rodgers is playing right now, there's no stopping this offense. It's can you outscore them? And the Rams, I don't think, can outscore them. I think Green Bay at home. How much noise can 6,000 people make at Lambeau Field?
It sounds like, of course, you have the piped-in noise. But I'm sure they'll all be, most of them, down in the lower bowl. And it sounds like the players can connect to the fans. You don't have enough noise, where it affects the offense in the red zone like you do when you're full. But it sounds like the players really feed off of off of it. And of course, we know the Packers have a lot of songs, a lot of chants, and I think they just feel like it'll really add a lot.
So the addition's more in the energy, not so much the noise.
Yes.
All right. Very good. All right, let's move on to game number two on Saturday. This is probably the one that I'm looking forward to the most just from a competitive standpoint. The Buffalo Bills hosting the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens beat Tennessee last week. Buffalo beat – who did they beat? Buffalo.
I can't remember. The Colts.
The Colts, that's right. They were able to handle the Colts pretty steadily last week. Buffalo is a 2.5-point favorite, so they don't even have the full 3 points that you see usually for home teams. Baltimore has come on strong at the end of the season. What's your breakdown of Buffalo versus Baltimore?
Well, I think the issue is Buffalo for real. But really, everybody's been asking that for weeks and said, well, this will be the game that proves it. And if that's true, then they've proved, yes, they are for real. I think being at home will help. The weather won't affect Baltimore a whole lot. But I think, again, just the energy and everything there. Again, it'd be a very close game. Turnovers obviously could be a big part of this. The kicking game could be, and Baltimore has an excellent kicking game. You feel like Buffalo has played well. This could be their year. They do have the pieces in place. Offensively, they've great weapon with Diggs has really developed. Of course, quarterback Allen has really done well. Very close game. It could go either way, but I think Buffalo has proved they can hold up, and I think they have a good shot this week. I would pick Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo is one of those teams where a lot of people have doubted them, you know, especially Josh Allen up into this season. And he was an MVP candidate here at the end of the season as well. And I think one thing that I like about Buffalo is they're a complete team. They've got it on every level, defense, offense, special teams. They've been really solid. They've got good coaching. They have a good mixture of young guys and vets on the team as well. I don't think anybody would be surprised if Baltimore wins this game. The way that they've been playing recently with Lamar Jackson, J.K. Dobbins, has been very effective. They still don't have a great receiving core, not a bad one. I mean, Mark Andrews at tight end, Hollywood Brown at receiver. They've got some good guys out there. But they are a little limited. The one thing that Baltimore's done well here at the end of the season is they've actually gotten back to just playing their style of football, running the football first, and then attacking down the field on top of that. Buffalo, I really like Buffalo. I think Buffalo has a chance to even beat Kansas City and go to the Super Bowl. I'm picking Buffalo as well, but I would not be surprised at all if Baltimore wins this game. I don't think this is a blowout in any way, shape, or form. And I think the style of play for Baltimore has that potential to keep it a close game with mainly running the football. I think the big question is, can Buffalo stop Lamar Jackson running the football? Because everything else, and Baltimore's got a solid defense. But, you know, that's where if you're going to lose to Baltimore, it's going to be because Lamar Jackson runs on you. And if you can't stop that, then you're going to lose to Baltimore. But I think Buffalo's, they're at the right time, at the right place. I think they've built the team the right way. Diggs obviously was a huge free agency piece. Or a trade piece, I guess, in the offseason, and he has paid dividends in Buffalo. So I'm going to go with you as well and pick Buffalo. But like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if Baltimore wins.
People always say that playoff experience is very important, and that's where Baltimore, of course, would have experience, both with their coaching as well as the team. But again, Buffalo seems like they've been able to get ready to play every week.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson has not succeeded in the playoffs to this point, so he's got that kind of monkey on his back, so to say, and he's obviously going to be motivated to change that narrative around him. Josh Allen, though, kind of comes in with the same similar baggage, not necessarily playoff losses, but just that mindset of, is he a legit top-tier quarterback in the league as well? So, yeah, I think it's going to be a great game. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully, I'll be happy after the Packer game and be able to watch that one peacefully as well. So then we've got Sunday games. The first game is Kansas City versus Cleveland. Kansas City, again, the one seed, so they've had the bye, have not played yet here in the playoffs, and also sat out, as we talked about before we got on the podcast. They had many of their starters sitting out week 17 as well. So some of them have been off for 2 weeks. Cleveland coming in, they'll get their head coach back, Kevin Stefanski, although I would argue maybe he should stay in the basement the way they played last week. Cleveland comes into this game a 10-point dog, Kansas City a 10-point favorite. How do you break down this game?
Well, I think Kansas City should win. I've always been one, and we've talked about this, that sometimes feel like when teams get to bye, there is some rust, and it takes a while to get going. And for many of the Kansas City players, it has been 2 weeks. But again, Kansas City should overpower them. They've got more going. Cleveland, though, was a surprise last week for sure. And they do have a good defense. So, again, you get a few turnovers and hang in the game and anything can happen. But I would think Kansas City would be the team in this. It does seem like they've showed all year that they're probably the best team in the NFL. And, of course, they have with Mahomes and just a good group there, very balanced on offense. And I think it'll be hard for Cleveland. But, again, if Cleveland stays in it, then anything can happen.
Yeah, Kansas City this year, they've yet to really just dominate. They had a lot of closer games this season, and although they won almost all of their games, it really wasn't the ideal season for them as far as dominating teams like they have the ability to do. I think we would all agree that they have the ability to do that. Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback. They've got great speed and talent on the outside as well. They lost, let's see here, this year they lost to the Raiders 40-32, and then they lost the last week of the season to the Chargers, but again, that was without some of their starters there as well. But they just didn't really, they dominated the Broncos 1 week, and they beat the Patriots pretty steadily early in the season. But overall, they had a lot more closer games. And so playing against Cleveland has that mindset that you want if you're cheering on an underdog of everyone's against us, no one's picking us, no one thinks we can win. To me, that's where Baker Mayfield is perfect. He's in that spot where everyone's against him. They don't really have distraction going on right now. And the talent that they have on offense and on defense, they've got a great pass rush. They've got some solid back-end guys in the defense as well. I think Cleveland's going to make a game out of this one. I would not pick Cleveland to win, but I think they're going to make a game out of it. And I don't think I would be surprised if they came out with a win. It'll be interesting to see kind of how they do how they do with the coaching staff. Stefanski's supposed to be back. Last week, of course, Alex Van Pelt called the play calls, and we heard Aaron Rodgers before the game praising Alex Van Pelt. We heard Jarvis Landry after the game praising Alex Van Pelt. He obviously has some talent, and actually it may open up an opportunity for some of these guys on the Cleveland staff to maybe get some interviews that they wouldn't have gotten otherwise. But Kansas City is just, they've got the talent. The question is, can they put it together and do what they're supposed to do on Sunday? I did a poll on Twitter and asked which underdog out of these four games people thought was most likely to win. And surprisingly, 40% of the poll picked Cleveland. They won the poll with 40%. 27% said Baltimore. 20% said Tampa. 13% said L.A. I was surprised to see that on the poll because I thought, Cleveland probably has the least likely chance to upset of anybody. I'd pick Baltimore personally, but it should be an interesting game. And the question is, can Cleveland get as excited and ready for this game as they did last week? And we've seen a lot of blowouts here recently, and it'd be nice to see a close game there early on Sunday. Last game of the playoff weekend, New Orleans and Tampa Bay, round three. They've played twice this season. They're at New Orleans. Tampa is a 3-point underdog in this game. What do you expect to happen between New Orleans and Tampa?
Well, this could be an interesting game. Obviously, you know, with me, I would rather New Orleans win. I'd be more of a Drew Brees fan. Both quarterbacks are a little bit, quarterbacks of destiny here, and maybe, you know, probably their last years, definitely Breeze, maybe Brady. I think, you know, you'd like to see New Orleans win. It's hard for anybody to beat a team three times. That's known. And for some reason, I just have the feeling Tampa Bay will pull this one out. They have a lot of talent, a lot of offensive talent, and a very good defense. And it'll be interesting. I think Tom Brady could make the move and pull this out. On the other hand, there's been games where he kind of fell apart. And New Orleans is going to be in New Orleans. New Orleans has got the defense. They could obviously exploit him. I think once Brady things start to fall apart, then that's kind of the end of it, because he doesn't have the support staff he's used to in New England. He doesn't have the players. I don't think he has people on board with thinking the way he thinks. And if things start to go south, then it could be rough. If it stays close, we all know, you know, he can win the close game. For some reason, I think Tampa Bay will come out of this, even though it wouldn't be probably who I'm picking.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd pick so much for Drew Brees as I would against Tom Brady as far as wanting to see the result. But you're right. I think the thing that helps Brady here is we're in a dome. New Orleans is a dome stadium, and so there's no wind or anything like that. Both of these quarterbacks don't have the arms that they used to have. I have a little bit more confidence in Brady than I do in Brees at this point as far as arm talent goes. And even with the team, although New Orleans is getting back at the right time. Michael Thomas, he caught a touchdown pass last week. Alvin Kamara is back. They have a solid defense. Tampa, they've got some incredibly talented wide receivers and tight ends. Not a great run game, but not a horrible run game. And their defense is solid as well. We are not gamblers, me and my dad. But I do have one gambling friend, and he said, "I will not bet against Tom Brady. I've learned my lesson." So even though I don't gamble money, I think at this point I wouldn't pick against Tom Brady till he actually loses. And I'm probably going to have to pick Tampa. And, you know, I suppose I'd more rather New Orleans win. But at this point, I'm just kind of hoping for good games. In the regular season, they played the very first week of the season. Saints won 34-23. Then they played later in the season. The Saints beat them 38-3. Buccaneers couldn't even get points up in that game and struggled to score there as well. In that 28-3 loss, Tom Brady had 209 yards and 3 interceptions. So if he's going to throw picks, obviously New Orleans has a chance. As it comes to the playoffs, turnovers is the most important thing. And the team, it seems like, with the least amount of turnovers is the team that wins. And so it'll be interesting to see. I think I'm with you on this one. I think Tampa is going to win this one as well. And, you know, New Orleans kind of handled them in the regular season. So maybe their coaching staff is better. Maybe that's where they have the up on Tampa Bay, Sean Payton over Bruce Arians. And maybe he's figured out what Arians does. And maybe Tom Brady talks Arians to let him do more Tom Brady stuff. I don't know. But that'll be an interesting game to see the two old quarterbacks going at it. Two of the best to play, and especially in this era in my lifetime. And I've got Tampa as well. So we agree on Green Bay. We agree on Buffalo. We agree on Kansas City, and we agree on Tampa. So look at there. We're side by side on these picks. And that means that we're going to be 100% correct. Everybody can listen to us That one. All right, let's transition. Let's go to the coaching. Just talk briefly about the teams with coaching vacancies. There's 7 teams currently: Philadelphia, the New York Jets, Atlanta, Houston, Jacksonville, the Chargers, and the Lions available right now. Out of these jobs that are available, what job do you think is the most appealing if you were a coach looking to take a team?
Looking at it, strangely enough, and I know you may not agree with this, I kind of think Atlanta is. Again, they have a quarterback, not necessarily, you know, maybe long term. It seems like it's a solid organization. They haven't gotten rid of people quickly. I think you can go there and know you have some time. Just up front, it seems to me like Atlanta would be a good job. Of course, Jacksonville, I think, has definite potential with having the first pick there. And, you know, just different things. I've always liked the Eagles. Philadelphia takes the right person. You have to fit in there because of the fans, because of the culture, but immense loyalty will be behind you if you fit in with the Philadelphia folks. I have a good friend, of course, that's an Eagles fan, and you know, again, if you can fit in there, I think they could. They're not devoid of talent either. So, just thinking about it, though, I would think Atlanta would be a place I would really look.
So. You say loyalty at Philadelphia. They won a Super Bowl, what, 3 years ago?
Yep.
And he's gone. He's out. Maybe he just didn't fit. I mean, the reports of the way that he went in and talked to the owner, he obviously wanted to get fired. But they booed Santa Claus in Philadelphia. So I'm not sure that loyal is what I would. Well, I mean, I guess, I mean, they didn't like Donovan McNabb. They liked Peterson for a little bit. Then they turned on him. Carson Wentz, they turned on him pretty quick. They loved Nick Foles, but he was no good. Anyways, Philadelphia is an interesting one. Atlanta, from a perspective of a safe place to go, time and things like that, I see what you're saying. I like the Chargers is my favorite spot right now. They showed with Justin Herbert that they've got a quarterback of the future. They've got a couple talented running backs there as well. They've got a really solid defense there with Bosa. They're kind of leading the way there, Derwin James in the defensive backfield as well. And it's LA, which is, there's pros and cons to that as well. Jacksonville, like you said, is a definitely appealing job. Number one overall pick, the opportunity there. They got some young guys there as well. Josh Allen on defense out of Kentucky has been solid for them. And they've got some other solid guys running back. They've got some pieces there. And it might be a better fit now, a better job opportunity now than it has been in the past, you know, 3-4 years or so, back when they had Bortles and Gardner Minshew and those kinds of things. The Jets is an intriguing one, too, I think. The Jets have either Sam Darnold or the number two pick. One of those will be the quarterback. And then, you know, they're in that space where over the next 3 to 4 years, they could be solid. If you get the right guy in there as well, I would stay as far away from Detroit. Houston, as much as I like Deshaun Watson, Houston is a horrible place to go at the moment just because they have no picks. They have all kinds of issues. And I mean, they're saying Deshaun Watson's asking to be traded. If he goes out, depending on what they do with that, if they trade him to Miami like he wants, they get Tua back. Well, and then maybe you got Tua and some picks. It might be a better job then. I think Deshaun Watson's a top three quarterback in the NFL, so that'd be a hard one to pass up. But it's not a great spot right now. Atlanta scares me a little bit just from the talent standpoint. Ryan has been okay. His stats have been fine, but he's getting older. Julio Jones has been injured a lot as well. They still have some other talent like Calvin Ridley on offense as well. But a lot of interesting things, and it'll be interesting to see. You know, I believe that Eric Bieniemy is the domino waiting to fall. Once teams hear from him that he says, no, I'm not coming to you, then they're going to go out and hire somebody. And I don't know when that time will come because Kansas City's still in the playoffs right now. Jacksonville rumored to want Urban Meyer first and foremost. There it appears that he's putting together a staff, and you would think that's going to work out. Then the other big name is Salah from San Francisco. He had with the Jets, two interviews with the Jets, and then he had another interview tonight, I believe, as well for one of the jobs, too. So I'll be interested to see where everything comes, where coaches land. Any coaching names out there that you've heard that intrigue you?
No, I mean, not really. To me, the interesting thing in the last couple of days have been the coordinators that have been hired. The former coaches have been some solid hires there. And it looks like most teams, which I think makes sense, is trying to get their GM in place. Yeah. The people that need GMs, and you really need that. So everybody, I think any coach wants to know, you know, where the organization's going and what kind of talent they can get. And the GM has a lot to do with that. It looks like the GMs have had a solid pedigree that they've hired so far. You know, it hasn't been hiring announcers and people like that. So a subtle
knock to the Vegas Raiders there.
I think, well, and there was talk about some others this time too. So, yeah. And again, he may be fine, but you know, these guys have made a career out of some of this and have a lot of connections. And again, just been interesting to me, some of the coordinators that have been lined up. Again, not at all a big Dallas fan. I think Quinn going to Dallas was a very good hire for Mike McCarthy there. And, you know, there's been several kind of go that way. And so it looks like people are waiting for something. You're probably right, for Bahemini, for things to fall there. But usually there would have been one or two that would have had their pick and got who they want. And the fact that nobody has yet, and we're a few days away from the next set of teams getting eliminated. Again, you would think once it starts, it could fall right in place.
Three college coaches have been mentioned. I'll count Urban Meyer in that three. Him, then Brian Kelly from Notre Dame has been linked to the Philadelphia job. And a lot of people are also talking about, is it Matt Campbell at Iowa State, I believe? His name has popped up as well for the Jets and I think a couple other spots as well. So, yeah, it's intriguing. It'll be interesting to see where it goes. And then once you get the coaches and the general managers in place, then the talk begins to go to the trades because, like I said, Deshaun Watson said he wants out. So there is talk about Jacksonville trading the number one pick for him. There's talk about Miami trading Tua and picks for him as well. There's talks about Matt Stafford moving in the offseason, Carson Wentz possibly moving in the offseason. So there's a lot going to happen here over the next several months leading up to the draft. And all that starts, though, with the hiring of the general managers and coaches. So we'll continue to keep an eye on those things. All right, let's wrap it up today with this conversation. We've got the number one pick in the NFL draft is almost certainly going to be Trevor Lawrence. I would be floored if it's anyone other than Trevor Lawrence, especially after the national championship game. Justin Fields did not solidify himself as the number one overall pick, which I didn't think he would either. So Trevor Lawrence is more than likely the number one overall pick going to Jacksonville or possibly traded to Houston. What quarterbacks in the NFL right now would you take over Lawrence if you were looking to start or rebuild a team? What quarterbacks would you take or where would you put Lawrence in that list, I guess? How many people would you have over him?
I think there could be three just because there's young quarterbacks now in the league and they are a little more proven. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes, I think you have to look at. I think he could go to any team and has the talent to make a difference in the leadership. Lamar Jackson is really good. Again, you have to play the right system with him, but I think he has proved there. Josh Allen, I think this year, it might be hard to pass on him. He's got the tools. He's awfully young, and I think you could build around him. Then I think probably Trevor Lawrence. Strangely enough, I don't think Joe Burrow's too far behind. He looked really good at Cincinnati before he got hurt. Seems to be better than anybody thought he would be. And, you know, he has the tools. He has the arm and some background there. Then after him, I don't think the guys measure up as much. Deshaun Watson, of course, is good and not quite as young. You got Kyler Murray. You got Justin Herbert. I always worry about the guys getting injured to run a lot. I've seen a lot of that. I mean, I think RG3 was going to be there forever and, you know, now isn't an issue. So I guess Murray and even Watson has always worried me about that, even though I like him and he's really good. But you got to get him protection. I didn't follow Herbert a lot, but I know he surprised everybody, has potential. But like I said, looking at Trevor Lawrence, looking at his background, get him in the right spot, get him some tools. You should be able to build around him and maybe even one or two of the other quarterbacks down the line. But I think he's the best one.
So I've got him in that 8 to 10 range at this point as far as current quarterbacks, where he fits in. I've got Mahomes. I would still take Rodgers. He's 37, but the way he's playing right now, he's still got a solid 5 years left in him, I think. So I'd still take Rodgers up there. Watson, who I think is the third best quarterback in the NFL right now, so I'd take him too. I'd take Herbert and Burrow over Lawrence just because we've seen out of them what they can do. The unknown of Lawrence, although it's enticing and exciting, knowing what you have in Burrow and Herbert, I'd put both of them above them. You're right about Jackson and Allen as well. I've got them above them. So then I put him in this category, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, Matt Stafford. I put Lawrence kind of in that grouping right there. Wilson is obviously talented, but he had a drop off this season. And then Murray is, I'm not still sure if Murray is a long-term NFL quarterback. He's got the running ability, no doubt, and he's got incredible weapons with him in Arizona, and maybe coaching's what's holding him back. I'm not sure, but I'm not completely sold on Murray yet. And Stafford's great, and he's only like 31, 32, something like that. He's not very old. And so Stafford still, even though he gets hurt a lot, I've got him in that. But I think right now I'd probably have Lawrence 8 behind Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, and Patrick Mahomes would be the guys that I'd take above Lawrence. Do you think Lawrence is the most surefire bet at quarterback since maybe Andrew Luck? When you're talking about someone coming out of college into the pros that you have confidence, hey, this kid's going to have what it takes to be an NFL quarterback?
I think he will. I think he'll be really good and has great potential. The thing that's been interesting in the last couple of years is there's been able to be a lot of young quarterbacks come and be successful. So I think, you know, there's two or three, maybe more, that if they get with the right team and the right situation, may not start the first year. Herbert didn't start right off, right? And then they brought him in, and there could be some guys that really fit into that. Now, as far as Fields at Ohio State, he was banged up. He was hurt. I was very impressed with him in the semifinal game, and I've seen him some this year being up here in Ohio. And I think he has potential maybe to be really, really good. And because I think he has leadership also. It depends, you know, whether he gets in a situation that's more solid. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence, Jacksonville, you're a little more of a rebuild. But again, you know, it's hard to say. Andrew Luck, I've heard that said a lot, that he's the next Andrew Luck. Don't know that, but when Andrew Luck come in, I think he had more success than people thought he would too right away, and of course became very solid. So I think Trevor Lawrence is obviously a safe pick. If you have the right coaching and the right GM and, you know, have the right plan for him. But again, you know, Joe Burrow, you say, well, they're just going to throw him in there and he's going to get, you know, killed. Well, he did get hurt. But, boy, he looked a lot better than anybody thought he would. And because I heard some of the national guys, you know, just, oh, it's going to be a horrible year for him and he's in a horrible spot. But his ability really shone, and I think Trevor Lawrence probably has as much or more ability there.
Yeah, I mean, Burrow was the clear-cut rookie of the year until he got hurt. I mean, the things he was doing, the numbers he was putting up, even the wins that he was getting – were incredible. Herbert, I don't even know if Herbert would have ever played had it not been for the doctor poking a hole in the lung of the starting quarterback. So, I mean, it's that freak accident that happened by the team doctor and to Tyrod Taylor, and Herbert gets thrust into the game with, you know, less than a couple hours notice and plays great. And then, and Anthony Lynn said after that point, he said, well, Tyrod Taylor's still our starting quarterback. And I thought, oh, Lynn's getting fired. And luckily he stuck with Herbert. Even when Taylor got healthy, Herbert was great. Lynn still gets fired. But yeah, I mean, they're saying four or five quarterbacks going in the first round this year. And, you know, I question a little bit some of these guys, Trey Lance, you know, coming out of the small college. You've got Wilson out of BYU. And, you know, so it'll be interesting. Of course, you got Fields and Mac Jones out of Alabama. Mac Jones is going to have a lot of conversations about him leading up to the draft, because there's arguing if he's a first round quarterback or a third round quarterback or where he fits. But the league is in good shape when it comes to young quarterbacks at this point. And quarterbacks is kind of what sells right now in the NFL. And, but you know, you said it, it's all about system. You know, Lamar Jackson, he's great because they put a system around him that fits Lamar Jackson. If you put Lamar Jackson in a different pocket passing system, he could still throw the football, but he would not be near as successful as he is. And so that's really what it's all about at this point, is getting in the right team and the right fit and then going from there as well. All right. Well, this is a good conversation on football. I want to remind people about our new sponsors. Check the podcast notes for the link for Blue Coolers and for Skull Candy. We're excited to have both of these on board partnering with us. And if you'll use the links on the podcast notes, or you can go on Twitter and find the links there as well. That way they know that you heard about them here at the Sports Stove. So we would appreciate anyone going to either of those sponsors. Please use the links that we have made available for you. Dad, it was fun. We're going to have you back on several times here this year and talking about a number of different things. Today we were just talking football. I know you like to talk hockey, a little bit of baseball as well, some college sports maybe as well down the road as we get closer to March Madness and things like that as well. But thank you so much for coming on the program. And now we're even, right? Everything you've done for me, you've been on the program, so we're even, right?
There you go. Pretty much. So.
All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening to today's Sports Stove podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Sports Stove. Please reach out and let us know how you felt about the program. Do you agree with us or disagree with us on our picks for the playoff weekend? What do you think about these quarterbacks coming into the draft and the coaching, best coaching fits? So you can reach out on Twitter, or you can always email us thesportsstove@gmail.com. Any comments there as well. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, we'll see you around the Sports Stove.